Ladies and gentlemen, very nice to see you this morning. By way of announcement, first and foremost, this is the last week for our ladies' seminar entitled Women with the Mind of Christ. So far, it's been fantastic. Can't say enough about it. And others think so, too, because many, many, many women around the country and throughout the world have downloaded and listened to it. Hundreds and hundreds, which is amazing. That has to be very encouraging, Judy, doesn't it? The Lord must be in it. And so it's this Thursday is the final installment, 4 weeks this year. And it's Thursday evening at 7:30. So if you haven't attended the others or all of them, why not come? Because this promises to be the best of the best, summing everything up. So maybe you didn't miss as much as you think. Then you can always go back on sermon audio and listen to all of them. So please attend, ladies. And men, if you bring your wives, give them a ride so they don't have to drive. Then we will feed you in the third floor conference room that looks out over the golf course. Pizza and wings. Okay, enough for that. Also, our dear friend and brother, Jim Seiler, has been with us for many, many years, passed away. Early Saturday morning. I spoke with his wife, Betty. And, of course, they're going to miss Jim terribly. He was a wonderful husband, father, friend to so many. Such a humble guy. And with a great sense of humor. Still see that smirk on his face. He's just a really good guy. And many of you have known him for many years. And like Brad worked with him 50 years. He's known him for 50 years and worked with him at one time. And kept tabs, in touch with him, the rest. And others, even myself, I considered him a good friend. When I used to sell furniture down at the church in Houston, he would come and spend the entire day with me. And we would just talk about the Lord and his word and just have wonderful friendship and fellowship there. I really miss Jim. I don't have any details on funeral arrangements or anything like that, but as soon as I do, I'll pass them along through email or text messaging to you. So, that being said, turn to Romans, please. Or you don't even have to. You can just look at the screens that surround you. These are our passages for today. Brad so astutely recommended that we put these up from the start before anybody even gets here. So when you arrive, you can read them and you'll know exactly where we're going. You should have read them before, but in case you haven't, we'll give you a second chance to focus upon the Word. So, Romans verse by verse is our present series. The title of the message this morning, Them! Question mark. You know who they are? Them. Them. Not he or she, but them. Sunday, September 24th, 2023. The answer and explanation to what has happened in our culture, where sexual identity is concerned, is found in these passages as nowhere else in all of the Bible. So they're very important, very relevant, current. Unfortunately, many have fallen victim to homosexual, transgender perversion, pushed now by the media. You see it everywhere, commercials, television programming, as being mainstream. It's not mainstream. They would have you think it is. The pressure is on for public acceptance of those who claim to be the victims of God's mistakes, where gender assignment and identity are concerned. As Christians, what are we to think? What are we to say? What are we to do regarding these things? Should we keep silent? Should we hate them, those people? Should we affirm them? Should we accept them? Should we address them by their pronoun of choice? Should we condemn those who have fallen into this ruinous trap? How should we view them and treat them according to the Word of God? Romans 1:26. Through this, is how it starts in the original Greek text. Through this, diatutu, diatuto. Through this, what's that mean, through this? Let me put my rubber finger on. Through this, what he's talking about, what he's referring to is what comes before in verse 19. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God showed it to them, they were without excuse. Verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They know God exists, everyone does. Therefore, they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. They made a decision not to glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an idol, into an image made in the likeness of corruptible man. They worship people. To birds, worshiping animals, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 25, they change the truth of God into a lie. They said, not only is that not true, but it's a lie. There's no relative truth to it, no absolute truth, no relative truth at all. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed eternally, eternally blessed. Amen. So, he says, through this, the God, there's only one, the true God, in three persons. Then it says, Paradidomi gave them over, ice unto or into, and then it has pathos, atomia, pathos, atomia. Pathos means passions or lusts, and atomias is the genitive feminine singular noun of degradation or dishonor. He says, through this, the God gave them over unto passions or lusts of degradation or dishonor. First of all, we must understand what it is that has occurred that has created their confusion, and how same-sex lust overtakes them, and the obsession that drives them to claim, practice, and even take pride in things so contrary to nature. So he says, next, he says, for even so, he's going to give us an example. Their phalos, what's that? Females. Their females. Females among us. Those assigned female bodies and souls at birth by God. He's the one that assigns our bodies and our souls. Those who are assigned female bodies and souls at birth. Their females exchanged is the verb. It's meta lasso. Meta lasso. Meta lasso means exchange, to change or exchange. Here in the aorist tense, which is a past tense, in the active indicative, viewed from the standpoint of truth, of metalasso, at a point in time, some point in their life, usually when there's an awakening, sexual awakening after puberty, though many claim feelings originating much earlier. But the fact is, only when coached or coaxed, which is evil in itself, for a variety of reasons, they decided to go the other way. And because they did not believe in God or His governing authority, they engaged in forbidden activity in opposition to the natural order of anatomy and gender assignment. Most of them, though they were ashamed at first, find acceptance with others who welcome them into the lesbian lifestyle and community. It's happening all around us, not in the great percentages that it is projected as. That's not true. It's quite unnatural. So, then he says, they exchanged the natural. What's the natural? Physical design of the woman, the breast, and unique abilities of womanhood and motherhood. They exchanged that. They give it away. And it says, the natural. Then it says, krasis, which means desire, design, attraction, and function. There's no question that women are grand creatures, grand agents of propagating the human race. And it's only natural that the desire to fulfill the role comes along with it. Hormones, female hormones such as estrogen, progesterone, follicle-stimulating hormone, FSH, luteinizing hormone, LH it's called, control ovulation and menstruation that prepare a woman's body for fertilization, pregnancy, and gestation, approximately 40 weeks, 280 days to the live birth of a human being. How great is that? A chance to marry. My wife said, ever since she was a little girl, she said, oh, how I want to marry and have a family and be a mother. I said, it's normal for ladies. You ladies remember that as children? When you had baby dolls and, I mean, that's just the way it is. The way God made you. He made us just a little different than that, but we'll get into that in a moment. We don't escape. It just starts with the ladies. And why does it always start with ladies, Judy? They have the most power. Yep. That's exactly right. So, it's great that you can have a family and children. A husband, a family, and children. A chance to marry and have a loving family as God intended from the beginning. Versus, this is crude. I'm crude. You figure it out for yourself. I'll just call it a B&B, civil union. With in vitro fertilization and or adoption of children who, when they become school, when they arrive at school age or become school age, they will likely be ashamed of having two moms and no traceable dad. Only some loser who made a deposit at the bank. Told you I'm crude. Perpetuating the Amazon culture, consisting only of women with Wonder Woman as their queen. Don't worry, I'm going to get more gracious and show you how even these can be saved and changed in a moment by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to put something out there, and you just hang on to this. Remember Mary Magdalene. You'll see why. So he says, back here, go back one page, he says that they, if they're females, even their females, those assigned female bodies and souls are both exchanged, made a decision to exchange, the natural desire, design, attraction, and sexual function. Then he says, unto that which is against nature. Against nature. Therefore, lesbianism here is the result of rejecting the existence of God. Convinced that these perversions are irresistible, they blame God, who they claim made them as they are, which couldn't be further from the truth. You say, well, they have psychological profiles on how this occurs in people's lives. I don't doubt that for a moment, but still, like everything else, there's a decision with pressure, of course. But Satan wants to destroy as many lives as possible. Likewise, the church, they believe, should welcome them and even affirm their identity and lifestyle, which the Word of God does not allow by these passages and others. The choices to leave one's first estate, that is, the assignment at birth of a female body and a female soul, and to lust after strange flesh is highly irregular and is seen in Sodom and Gomorrah is satanically inspired behavior. It was the fallen ones who were the first in lusting after strange flesh. after leaving their creative state. 2 Peter 2:4, God spared not the angels who sinned in this way, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Sons of God, in Genesis chapter 6, committing the high crime of leaving their created state and lusting after the daughters of men, resulting in the Nephilim eruption. They contaminated the whole earth. All of mankind, except for 8 individuals, in the story of Genesis 6. Completely unnatural by anatomy and biology for enjoyment and or reproductive function. Where these things abound, wrath ensues, just as it did in the ancient world, starting with the angels that sinned in the days of Noah. Jude, verse 6, only one chapter. The angels who did not keep their original domain, they were able to do that, abandoned their proper abode. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So you can see the satanic origins of these things. Obsessed with flesh and deviant sexual intercourse. These same spirits, this is a good Sunday message, sponsor human perversion as seen in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the term sodomites? You get it. Who mobbed Lot's household to have sex with destroyer angels. So amazing. Vile. Genesis 19:5. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men? These are angels. Who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have relations with them. They're demons that possess humans. Who sponsor these perversions. No, you won't hear this anywhere else. They'll probably come and get me and put me in jail for hate speech. But I'm not hateful. I'm telling you what the Word of God says and means. It's my job. Come what may. It's likely, I told you, remember Mary Magdalene. It's likely that Mary Magdalene, who remained unmarried, was involved in such as this with 7 demons in residence prior to meeting Christ, who came to her town one day in order to cast 7 demons out of her and made her into the most chaste and pure believer extraordinaire that you can find in the Bible. Actually, the first one he appeared to and was sent to tell the disciples that he had risen, which he still can do and does in the lives of women today. That was the women. Leaving the lesbian females, let us now turn our attention to homosexual males. Verse 27. Here we go. Homoios. What's that sound like? That's the word likewise. That's how it starts. Homoios. Then he says, te kai. Likewise, the same. And also, the arone. What's that? Arsane. Arsane it is, actually. Arsane. The arsane, or males. Arsane. Males. Those assigned male bodies and souls by God at birth. Then he says, leaving behind. Aphiemi. There's our word, aphiemi. It's a word that's used for forgiveness oftentimes in the Bible, or for leaving something behind, for divorcing, or leaving oneself, or leaving one's creative state. Leaving behind, or casting aside. Then he says, the natural, what is natural, or what is normal. Leaving behind, casting aside the natural, that which is natural, that which is normal. It's the nature of a man, or a male, to be as God created him in every way. Then he says, the natural desire, it's the same word, krasis, design, attraction, and sexual function of the female, the phallus, became inflamed. Inflamers. In their craving unto one another. Males are same with, and males are same. Males with males. Then he says, committing, katergazomai, doing or committing, shameful or indecent acts, which we won't even mention. We're not allowed to. And receiving in themselves, due to their error, their great error, the recompense, the results of that which is due them. Effeminate souls, emotional instability, timidity, weakness of mind and body, ever more so than a normal or natural woman, these having transgressed the boundaries of nature and gender assignment from God, made in the image and likeness of God, the man. And the woman is taken from the man. It's a horrible thing. So, verse 28, no worse than what you've done. Anyway, verse 28, and just as, it says, they did not see fit to retain God in epinosis. What's epinosis? It means true knowledge. To know very well, as all do, and all without excuse, God gave them over. Once again, paradidomy. They insisted on being left alone, and God granted their request. God gave them over unto a dokimos, which is translated degenerate, demonstrating that which is improper or incorrect. Degenerate minds, wrong thinking that sponsors all kinds of wrongdoing, wrong decisions and wrongdoing with serious consequences. It's a tough road, though. Then he says, give them over to a reprobate mind, degenerate mind, to do things that are katheko, which means, katheko, which means not proper, things that are not proper. Degenerate thoughts, choices, and deeds, Thayer says, things not fitting, forbidden, or shameful, a perversion of the natural order. Verse 29. You can see it up here. Verse 29. Follow along as I give you some of the Greek words, the important Greek words. He says, peperomenoi, which means, burnomenos, which means, having been filled full. That's what happens. With all wrongdoing. Pornia, we know what that is. Pornography, but generally speaking, sexual immorality of every kind. And then he says pleonasia, which means insatiability, can't get enough. Evil thoughts and deeds that come along with it. Then he says, even full of envy and murder. Really? That's what the Bible says. And I'm sure you can trace lots of case histories where that has occurred because of these very things. Strife, which is fighting, always ready to pick a fight. Deceit, all these so much like the devil. And then it says malice. Malice means your misfortune is my delight. These people are cruel. Comes along with the territory. Then verse 30, got that? Verse 30 says, there are down speakers. What's a down speaker? Those who speak down upon others. Those who slander. Catalalus. Are down speakers. And here's one, Theostuges. If you think this isn't the problem, this is the root. Haters of God. What? Theostuges, theos for God, stuges to hate. What do you expect? They are insolent. Hubristos. You know what hubris is? It's an insolent person, violent aggressor, especially one, takes a superior attitude, mistreats others out of his own revolt against God's revelation of truth. Pretty picture. Then he says, arrogant and proud. You say, are you making too much of this? You say, you're making too much of this. No, I'm not. It's the Word of God. I didn't make this up. It's in the Word of God. You say, well, you're being unkind. All right, then the Word of God is being unkind also. It's a wake-up call for any and all who only want to be saved from themselves and this horrifying lifestyle of complete degradation that will take them to the brink of despair and suicide. Help, Lord. Cry out today, help. Help me, and He will help you. Hubris. Then we have hubristhenos, which means arrogant and proud, viewing oneself as being better than others. Yeah, right. Boastful. Brash, loud, blowing one's own horn all the time in a number of languages. An arrogant person is described figuratively as one who speaks big words about himself or one whose mouth writes checks that his body can't cash. Then they are called also inventors of evil. They have quite a repertoire of things that they choose and do. Cacon is evil of every kind. And then disobedient to parents. So why would they put that in there? Well, it happens at a young age, starts at an early age, often a combination of parental failure and childish willfulness. Parents too busy to invest the time needed to know the souls of their children. And failing to lovingly discipline them and ultimately neglecting them by failing to instill in them the gospel and afterward the Word of God. Moreover, that's the great restrainer. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Moreover, there are some children who are willful and disobedient no matter how much attention and instruction they receive. You just have to accept that as being true. Verse 31. Without understanding. That is, they are non-thinking. Asunetos. Non-thinking. Then he says, and they are non-thinking, promise breakers, not promise makers. They make you a promise, they'll break it for sure. Without normal family affection. How could they have normal family affection? They actually are cut off in most instances from their family, from their natural family. They'd sell their own mother, many instances, and do so. Without empathy or mercy. Verse 32. That's who they are. That's the description. Verse 32. Then he says, who? The ordinance, dikaioma, the ordinance of God, that which is deemed right, so as to have the force of law in the souls of men. Generally speaking, the ordinance of God, then he says, knowing well, the word epinosis, once again, knowing well, even very well, they know the ordinance of God. Even so, they know full well and having a sense of foreboding regarding your conduct, fully engage in it anyway. No restraint. That those practicing such things, then he says, are worthy, axios. It's like equal in weight. This comes their way. It's appropriate, apropos. It's worthy. They're worthy. Then it says, of thanatou, which is death. Let me read that one more time. He says, who the ordinance of God, knowing well, even very well, that those practicing such things are worthy of death. Here, death is God's removing from life on earth. That's the result of these things, is death. That is, removing from earth, from life on earth, those who reject God along with all that is right and good. He removes them from life. By so doing, the Lord spares them from further self-induced misery, as well as the harm that they do to others, the bad influence, and the harm that they do to others. So, they know that they're worthy of death. They not only do these things themselves, that's not bad enough, but also sun judicato, which means they approve and give hearty approval to others doing the same things. Nevertheless, that's quite a description, isn't it? Nevertheless, there's a solution to this grave problem of serious, demonically sponsored and promoted mental illness. They used to call it mental illness in all the psychological journals until the 60s, mid-60s. Now it's an alternative lifestyle, not a mental illness, that carries so many young people to their tragic end by violence, alcoholism, drug addiction, and deadly diseases. That's where they end up. There's one cure. One way out. A moment of reckoning and a crisis of conversion. When the Lord comes to visit, as he did with Mary Magdalene, when he came to her town one day just to see her. Matthew 15:39. It says, and he took the boat and landed in the region of Magdala. It's Mary Magdalene. That's where he met Mary Magdalene. He went to see her, to cast out, to save her, to free her from seven demons that drove her into a lifestyle of horrific sin and would have surely brought a tragic end. You too, if you're hearing this on sermon audio, can be made brand new. Made clean and pure again. Anybody here know that's true? You can have a pure thought life, which is a start. You can be restored, and the possibility of being restored to healthy, natural relationships, even marriage, family, that you thought would be nice, but you also thought it's probably too late for you. It's not too late. The Lord Jesus, who died as your substitute on the cross and paid for your every dirty deed, will accept you as you are and will change your heart and life and give you a new reason and purpose to live a new life without the stain and shame of homosexual sin. Only he can do it. And he will, if you'll only call upon him. Now, with every head bowed, please, and every eye closed, believers, pray for those who are caught in such a deadly and disastrous trespass, that they would be delivered even now at this time. For those moved to do so, pray with me. Lord Jesus, like you did for Mary and so many others, deliver me from the evil and deadly plot of Satan to destroy me. I believe in you. Suddenly, unexpectedly, as God and Savior who died on the cross and rose from the dead in order that I might be saved and delivered from so great a death. Thank you for showing me the way. And I trust also you will show me what you would have me do next as you guide me in life. If you prayed this prayer, I can announce that you just entered in to a brand new life of reality and salvation, and the natural, you re-entered the natural order of things, the creative state into which God designed you, and in which you will be the only one in which you can be satisfied and happy without any consequences. And so we announce your salvation at this time. Father, just thank you for this, for the word today and for these difficult subjects that we must address because they're in your word and so relevant to today's culture and this nation and throughout the world where these things are rampant. And not that we are negative and hate people for the things that they do. We hate the sin. We don't hate sinners because we're all sinners, but we love them and give them the only answer that there is, the only solution that there is to the problem of this demon distortion of life on earth, missing the purpose of God, and to help and to heal such wounds, such deep wounds. Yes, only you can do it. And only we can choose it. And therefore, Father, help many to do just that. Thank you for the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If we could all stand.